Aloha and welcome to the Startup Catalyst podcast produced by Salton Ventures. I'm your host, Yasmeen Dar. This season, we'll hear insights from minority and women entrepreneurs and investors and how they're striving to make a difference. Today's guest is Olin Lagan, founder of Shifted Energy, an eco-friendly startup from Hawaii focused on turning electric water heaters into cost-effective demand response assets. In today's episode, we'll hear about Olin's humble beginnings in KPT to spearheading national sustainability through entrepreneurship. Support for the Startup Catalyst comes from American Savings Bank, dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and innovators achieve their dreams. ASBHawaii.com, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. Welcome, Olin, to the Startup Catalyst podcast. So in the spirit of startups, can you give me a little pitch about who Olin Lagan is?
Oh my goodness, I wasn't ready for that question. I think more of a wake-upper. So like when I wake up, everything is brand spanking new and fresh. And so therefore, that's where startups live, right? Because you got this fresh perspective. So as a result, I think my whole life has been one startup after another.
What was your first entrepreneurial endeavor?
So I guess my first was in KPT. So it's primarily was Samoan then in the 1970s and 80s. And so in the fifth grade, I went to Long's Drugs and I stole a bottle of Indian ink. And I went to the library and read about how to make tattoos. Practiced on myself, of course, put two tattoos on my body and I was in business. At 25 cents a letter. That was not a good thing to do. I got busted pretty quick and I'm glad I wasn't beaten to death.
All right, so fast forward from your days in KPT, you graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and you studied engineering there?
I studied general, so I could take from any class. So I was initially going to study just electrical or mechanical engineering, but it didn't really suit my desire. So I was more on the software engineering side. So I ended up doing a general degree, which was sort of varied, and a specific business degree. So I ended up with two specific programs.
You mentioned you were about to head into law school, but because of one of the ventures that you had started, that just started taking off. Tell us about that a little.
Yeah, so it was in the 90s during the dot-com era. And so in college, we had started with some friends and ended up building a company where we were doing globalization for the Fortune 500 companies of the world and ended up getting clients like Disney, Nike, Chrysler, Mercedes, MIT, like all these clients. And then we acquired a company in Europe. So we had operations there. We had operations on the continental U.S. as well.
No kidding. So growing up in Kalihi, Palolo Valley, who is your biggest inspiration?
Oh, I have to take a deep breath. Share this story. So my dad died when I was young. So my mom got me one of those big brothers, big brother, big sisters, this guy Dave from the continent. And one day, fifth grade, I got a call from him. And he was just excited, crazy. He called me and said, Olin, listen, can you hear it? Can you hear it? And I couldn't hear it. And so I said, I didn't hear it. He's like, it's hailing. He lived in Kaimuki. And so in Kaimuki, it was hailing. And he was so crazy excited, he called me. And I didn't hear the hail. But two things happened. One is I hung up the phone thinking, holy crap, this man, grown man, called me because he wanted to call me. He was just so excited. He saw me. And then two is that, you know, he shared something just so crazy cool with me. And then I think that was one example of how one person can completely change your life by just simply seeing me, making that call. And he took me to a baseball game with tickets he got from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I would have never remembered. But that was something that just burnt in my memory.
So, he saw you. I love that.
He saw me. You know, like Maya Angelou said, you know, measure yourself as a parent. And like when you walk into a room and you see your kids, do they see your eyes just light up? Yeah. And if not, then, you know, there's something. And I admit that I am as guilty. Like I get caught up in stuff. And my wife calls it Olan. I go into Olan. So I am somewhere else. And I don't see anything or anyone. And I can see how damaging that can be. So I have to also be mindful of that, too. It's a daily practice.
You know, growing up here, right, you didn't grow up with a silver spoon at all. But you have been very, very involved with the community, giving back, especially with your talents. And I'm going to circle that back to Purple Maya, a foundation that you and Donovan Kealoha have, which we have interviewed on this podcast, created together. Can you tell us a little bit about Purple Maya?
Yeah, you know, he and I were talking. He's from Lanai, and I'm from KPT, and we would have these conversations about people like us, you know, kids like us, and what's there for us. And you know, the two stories I want to share. One is I meet people all the time, and I tell them I'm from KPT, and I do that because I watch their reaction. I get a lot of like, "Holy crap!" They're so amazed by that. And it makes me so sad because what they're really saying is that you should not have made it.
Correct.
I believe that you should have failed. Mm-hmm. Your color, wherever you're from, they think that they're doing a good thing, but it's that implicit bias they have. And so I would recommend everyone, if you haven't, go to the Harvard's Implicit Project or Project Implicit and measure your bias. It is crazy. Everyone's got biases, and there's a really clever way to measure that. And so I think I hear those stories. And then two is, I still hear stories about our kids. Like, for example, in our first school in Kaimuki, we were at Jared Intermediate. And there was a story about one of our students who the coach scolded him one day saying, after school football coach, when I tell you 2:30, we have to be here at 2:30 and start 2:30. And the kid said, I'm sorry, but I don't have shoes. And my dad, he's finishing work at noon. So after school, I run home, I get his shoes, and I come to practice. Oh. And so you think, what year is this where, a kid who wants to play football can't afford shoes? And so, and of course, he's not a white kid. And so we created Purple Maya to give kids the opportunity to learn that they can change the world around them. Look at purple. It's the rarest color in nature, so you never see it. Unless you look for it, then it's everywhere. And so that, we think, is a good analogy for kids, is that our kids, we look for their purpleness. They're hard to find sometimes, but we find it every single time, and we honor that. That's really the goal.
And Maya in Hawaiian means banana.
Banana.
So purple banana.
Correct.
So I love that. Dolan has talked to us about some incredible success stories. And currently you are focusing on Kiki. Is that meaning children? Is that your goal for this program, or are you hoping to expand that to a little bit of the older generations?
Yeah, we started with middle school, and now we're in high school, mm-hmm. and our goal is to get to post-high school, so we're already in talks with the University of Hawaii at West Oahu. There may be opportunities for us to create a two-year or four-year degree program, and so we're at the sort of forefront of those conversations, but I think there are pathways for us to go all the way up to college.
That would be wonderful.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope so.
Let me see.
And kids are amazing too, right? You just give them a little bit of leeway. You see them, you honor them, and they will, without a doubt, surprise you.
And I also feel like, this is a great opportunity, especially for the current generation we have right now, to expose them to the opportunities that they have, right? And then open more doors for them, because right now, UCN Tech, there's not much of that diversity happening.
Right.
And with diversity comes culture, right? And those cultures get infused in the way we think and the way that we process for problem solving.
Right.
How do you feel that's going to affect the industry, say, 5 years from now?
Yeah, it's interesting. Hawaii is the most diverse state. Only 25% of the population are pure white. And yet, if you look at the top 25 companies, 60-70% of the CEOs are white men. And so, and why is that? What is causing, I'm not saying that it's an epidemic or anything like that, but the board of directors of those companies have made decisions to hire people who don't, as a percentage or per capita, reflect the community. And so I think that we do need a lot more diversity across all realms, because, I think the nice thing about diversity is I see genius in diversity, right? When you can take someone from two different cultures and mix them together, and then the genius of the dishes that come out of the kitchen, the geniuses of the conversations and the ideas, there's just so much to gain from that. The tolerance, the compassion, the love, the relationships, all these things I think add so much to the experience. And so I think we still yet have to see that boom that's going to happen as a result of that. And it's coming. It's definitely.
So when you have to go to, say, investors or pitch something, have you felt any challenges?
That's a good question. If I'm slightly autistic, and so if there are cues, I would have missed them. So the honest answer is I haven't seen them, but that doesn't mean they didn't exist. And so I would just act as if they didn't exist because I wouldn't be observing them. But, one story kind of illustrates the blindness to color in tech. We started the first crowdfunding company on Earth. Someone asked, where did your director of engineering go to college? And then I didn't know the answer to that. I should know that. I don't know. So I went back and I thought about it. I was like, he's 19 years old. The dude didn't even go to college. In fact, he dropped out of high school.
Wow.
And he was African American. And so it made me think, holy smokes, I didn't even factor any of that into the equation. What I cared about was what he could do. And so, because we gave everybody tests. And I think with the VCs, it's very similar. So when you pitch, I don't think they're looking at your color, but they're looking at the value you're going to drive. Are you going to hockey stick? Are you the right person to execute on this idea? It's all about execution. We need more women in leadership. When you see that, oh my goodness. I remember there's a Bill Gates talk online you can watch where he was in the Middle East. And somebody asked him, like, you know, when will our country be up there at, with one of the top industrialized nations? And Bill Gates said, well, to be honest, when you don't utilize half of the talent in the country, probably never. it's a pretty bold thing for him to say, but you know, it's very true. And in some respects, it's the same thing that's going on with minorities and women.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make space for failure. And that's one thing that's really hard in Hawaii in particular. With our Asian influence and culture, you know, mm-hmm. failing is, you know, there's some shame to that. You know, we all feel it. But if you go to someplace like Silicon Valley, and you know, a couple of my companies have moved there, and you meet someone and you talk to them in a bar, and they're like, yeah, two startups, we totally blew $30 million each. We went down in flames. And you know, that's like almost like a badge of honor. Like, what did you learn? Like, holy crap, can we start something? Because your next one is going to make it. You know, it's a very, very different environment when it's where it's safe to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't yet have that in many different parts of the world. And so I think for our kids to have a safe place to fail, you know, tech gives that. So in Purple Maya, for example, when you code something up and it breaks, you know, it doesn't work. You fail. You got to go fix it.
Right.
But if you do that, and if just coding makes you do that every single day, 10,000 times per day, then you start to reframe this failure mentality that it's okay. You know, it's just broken. Fix it.
Right. Yeah, learning
so,
lessons.
Right.
Okay.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. You know, if I was an engineer and my ship sank, you know, whatever, like, you know, that's really bad. And but, you know, if you're a coder and all these bugs happen up, you know, no one's going to say, like, you know, you're stupid and, like, it's buggy and you fix it, right? So,
right.
You know, there's a process for that. So
just
I think there's a lot of forgiveness in that. Yeah,
yeah,
so
exactly.
We need more of that, I think, in the world. There's a big cultural shift that has to happen to look at failure as, you know, okay, it happened. What can we learn? Let's move on.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Kamehameha Schools plays a significant role in ensuring a thriving Lahui, particularly in improving educational outcomes that lead to post-secondary educational attainment for Native Hawaiians. Through our schools, we provide high-impact, high-quality, well-rounded educational experiences. Our involvement in the community is characterized by proactive engagement for improved outcomes for Native Hawaiians. We listen to and collaborate with community members and organizations that share our vision to strengthen Native Hawaiian leadership, influence, economic, and emotional well-being.
All right, let's see here. What is one skill that you feel every entrepreneur should learn, being that you are a serial entrepreneur yourself?
I think basic data science. And so the ability to take information that's a bunch of spreadsheets or data points and make sense of that or interpret that. I think just to be able to look at things from a data-driven perspective. And so there's a science behind that. It can be learned. You can get really deep into it.
Yeah.
But I think the basics is just absolutely critical.
And if you're not into it, partner up with somebody who is.
But then learn the skills too. Don't skip on that one. You know, you gotta go for it, right? So like, you always got to be learning. Like Donovan, you mentioned Donovan. He and I, we share, maybe this is not for the podcast, but so be it. We share an Audible account, right? So I can listen to his books and he listens to mine and can split that. So it's a great way to partner up with someone else to push you to learn and never stop learning.
Do you have any favorite authors or books?
Oh, good. Not really. I think I'm leaning more towards podcasts and books right now. I think there's a lot more quicker wisdom in podcasts. And so I can consume a podcast at 2 or 3 speed pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
Versus a book, which will take me a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm leaning, like lately, last year, I've been shifting more towards podcasting and less reading. But.
And you've shared your favorites with me, which I now listen to. But can you share with our listeners some of the ones that you like? And they could be from all kinds of genres.
Lately, I've been focused on energy. So the Energy Gang and all the podcasts around that, because I really need to understand that space more. So I've been focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love things like Malcolm Gladwell's series. Yeah, like his series is just fantastic. His voice is amazing. I'm glad he's voicing it himself. I've read all his books, and so I'm a big fan of him. But the Freakonomic stuff, the basic news stuff. And so I think podcasts for me has really been about energy right now. But I also like stories with lore, for example. I love like hearing stories like from our past.
I'm a huge fan of lore. All right, we're going to do a couple of quick-fire questions. One personal habit you're trying to get rid of?
Well, other than sugar, I think the rationalizing not to exercise. So I got to stop that. I got to get out more. I got to, you know, smell the salt in the air.
Yeah.
Got to get pounded. by surf. I've got to fall on hills and hikes and stuff. And I rationalize myself out of enough of those experiences. And so I need to stop that.
You mentioned getting out into nature. So do you have a favorite surf spot or hiking spot?
Yeah, I'm an old fut in Hawaiian, right? So like old man. So I like the small surf in Waikiki. It's my speed now. I grew up laughing at those guys like, oh my goodness. Yeah, look at those guys. And I'm one of them. Yeah, so here I am. I love Waikiki. So I'll go out with my longboard. In terms of hikes, I just like I like waterfall hikes. So like Ulumahu or Manoa. Any place that gets to sort of a stream that has some kind of falling water, it's so amazing. Because then you can hike along the stream, you can go up the mountain and come back down. There's so many opportunities to experience different things.
There's a really cool one in the back of Palolo Valley off of Waimao Road, and it goes and it leads up to Ka'au Crater, but you don't have to go up that far.
Yeah, I've been up that waterfall when it was raining.
So oh no.
It was not good. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, I was up halfway and then it started coming down. I thought, oh my goodness, this is
flash
not good.
Flood, man.
Yeah, it was a flash flood, but I just went up slow and I made it. Then enjoyed Ka'au Crater after that.
It was beautiful, that hike.
Never purchased.
Okay, last question. Who are your top startups to watch and why?
Top three entrepreneur startups. Yeah, that's a good one. I personally don't do that, you know, like just look at, you know, who's gonna, I like to look at industries. And so right now I feel like there needs to be, the industries I'm focused in on are how do you do world-class projects and still not leave people behind?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the intersection I focus in on. So in finance, it's, you know, how do you get the unbankable banked? I did microfinance for a little while. In energy, how do you get the renters, for example? So I think I'm focused more on those industries. And within those industries, you know, it's really hard to name some companies, but I would be a fan of every single one in that space that's really looking to get the underserved into these traditional markets.
What about the water industry?
Yeah, you know, I think the water is interesting because ultimately it's supply and demand. And so you have companies that have contracts to drill water out of the ground when the water cables are getting low. And they do that because we're buying their bottled water. I mean, people buy the Fiji bottled water. If you go to Fiji, not 30% of the country, they don't have access to clean water, and yet they're exporting this water, and we buy it. You know, it's pretty amazing when you think about sort of the supply and demand aspect of water. I have sworn off bottled water for well over a decade. I don't buy it. I don't drink it. I don't serve it. And it's my own personal thing. Because if I buy it, I'm participating in that.
Correct. Yes. Feeding your whole Kanu Foundation.
Right. Yeah, it's really about, you know, when it comes to sustainability, the question to ask is not what can somebody do or what some company can do, what policy can change, but what can I do in my own life to first make my life in sync with my values? And then once that's in place, you can then start asking. And so that's really the core difference in the philosophy I have. So in other words, if I'm not willing to do it myself, then I have no business asking someone else. So if I'm not willing to get rid of plastic bags in my life, then why would I support a ban for it? You know?
Right.
And so I think that inconsistency is a major problem in sustainability, where we have too many people that maybe have not worked enough on themselves versus going out to advocate for others.
That's it for today's episode of the Startup Catalyst podcast. Thank you so much to Olin Lagan. And to learn more about his organization, you can go to shiftedenergy.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram for the latest podcast news and updates at Sultan Ventures. And to learn more about how you can get involved in startups here locally in Hawaii, go to sultanventures.com. Till next time, aloha.